Well, we are back, and we always like to have you guys check us out. Where do we want to go, Don?
The Valley Outdoors.
And we want to go to Facebook, too. That was an extended version, Don.
He wanted people to have clarity.
That must have been the LP version. And, of course, Facebook, check us out there, too. Yeah. Exactly.
The long play.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Boston.
Do you know what EP stands for, then?
Extended.
Good job.
I'm all over that. Exactly.
All over it.
Yep. On it. On it. On it. After a riveting conversation that Don totally screwed up with the Ned Riggs.
What?
Don't make me say it. Piece of plastic on a hook.
Yeah. That's what it is, sir.
Wow. You see, do you guys in the audience realize what I'm working with here?
Do you ever use a drop shot for walleye?
No, I don't.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes, I have.
Not effective?
Not as effective as other rigs that I have tried.
Okay.
Yep. I have tried it.
Have you?
Of course I've tried it.
Absolutely. I haven't. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
You know, if you know how far the fish are off the bottom, I would think it would make sense. Mm. You're in the zone.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
All right. They like plastic.
Enough of your rigs.
Oh, fine.
What's your big story?
Fine, today? Fine, fine. So, we always like to be on the cutting edge of Mother Nature and news and all those kind of things. The doomsday fish was found dead in California days before the earthquake struck Los Angeles. What do you think about that, Don?
What is a doomsday?
While kayaking and snorkeling in La Jolla, California. Do you realize how they spell La Jolla?
I don't know.
Jolla. I know those things.
Okay.
The group spotted a very rare deep sea fish that had died. The oarfish, known as a doomsday fish, was 12 feet long. Only 20 oarfish have been reported in California since 1901, according to the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in San Diego. It has long, slender body, reach lengths up to 36 feet long, about the size of a school bus. Isn't that crazy?
You got pictures of this?
You can look it up. They're referred to as a doomsday fish because some believe it foreshadows natural disasters such as earthquakes and or tsunamis. That's according to the Ocean Conservancy. The fish has been observed around Japan during major earthquakes, but scientists report that they have yet to establish a link between its appearance and events such as quakes and subsequent tsunamis. 2 days after the fish was discovered, the Los Angeles area was struck by a 4.6 magnitude earthquake. August 12th, the oarfish feed on plankton, crustaceans, and squid by straining them from the water column, usually with gill rakers, etc. And, of course, with the help of the NOAA, Fishery Service, and the California Sea Grant, they're able to coordinate with lifeguards, transport the fish to the NOAA facility, and after they do an autopsy, in this case they call it a necropsy, the fish will go from there to the University of San Diego, and they have approximately 2 million alcohol-preserved specimens and about 5,600 species of fish that are there. But that has been known before. It's been talked about. And I think there's a lot more than just 10 or 15 of those situations that have come up with that fish. So, and it's a very, very deep, deep bottom feeding fish. So when those things occur, I think what it does is it basically disorients the fish and then it just kind of
dies. I mean, an earthquake under the ocean is an explosion.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to float a few.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's some deep water off the out in the Pacific there. So,
yeah.
It's probably where they're lurking around.
Well, and when you see a picture of the fish, it's pretty crazy. It's very thin, and this one is about a foot and a half tall, but very thin.
Yeah.
And about 12 feet long. So,
be interesting to get that on your dead rig.
You know, I got to put up with this all the time.
I was just saying.
Yeah. Well, we did tell him that we pick on him when he's not here, so he's just making sure.
Yeah.
That you feel
we'll pick on him. Yeah, we'll pick on him next week.
Yeah.
And for a few weeks.
You're going to miss me.
Did you know this week was the week that the National Park Service was created under President Wilson?
I did not.
Yes. I'm here for bringing those facts to you.
Oh, thank you.
That's kind of my job. We made a bold step forward in growing and protecting the world's largest park system when they signed into law the National Park Service. They called it the Organic Act on this day. Actually, not this day, but this week, August 25th, notably created the National Park Service, and it's a new federal bureau and the Department of Interior responsible for protecting 35 national parks and monuments. They're managed by the department and yet those yet to be established, so future parks at the time that they had planned. Today, National Park Service manages over 400 protected areas in all 50 states. How many people do you think go to National Park in a given year, Don? Take a guess.
Gazillions. Millions.
300 million visitors go to the national parks.
That's about the population.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. 20,000 people are employed. The first national park under U.S. Ulysses S. Grant was set on March 1st, 1872, and that was the Yellowstone National Park. Yosemite, Mount Rainier, and Crater Lake soon followed. And, of course, they immediately tried to go after that right away. Part of the issue is, although more than a dozen parks have been designated, by 1916, along with 30 national monuments, the area functioned with little oversight, so there really wasn't anybody keeping track of what was going on. And opportunists took advantage of it. Poachers targeted plentiful wildlife, and the you had to look at that because, you said a national park, you think they'd have it protected in the national park, wildlife, etc.
Should be.
But they signed into the into motion the Organic Act, and that was designed to resolve those issues. It gave the National Park Service dual mission and Department of Justice Environment and the Natural Resource Division both to conserve and provide for their use and enjoyment in a manner such that all can leave it unimpaired for future generations. And the national park system today covers 133,000 square miles, or it's about the size of Germany. Larger than Poland, Italy, or the United Kingdom. And
how much? 133,000 square miles.
133,000 square miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And combined, the national parks are larger than 170 of the 234 nations of the world. So, pretty cool. It established by the Organic Act. It's the best idea America ever had. And been described by President Bush as a proclamation for the National Park Week as America's gift to the world. It is pretty cool, I have to admit, with all of the sites that are out there within
there have to be a lot of people that visit several times. When's the last time you were at a national park?
I don't remember.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Voyagers. Yeah. I grew up there before it was Voyagers.
Yeah.
So... Ava?
Frontenac State Park?
That's a state park.
State park.
National Park?
National.
Park. Man. Probably when I was out in California, where Yosemite is.
How long ago?
Oh, gosh. 2015.
We're not contributing to the yearly
2015.
The 300 million.
Nine years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ick.
So I said there's a lot of people got to do it multiple times. Good.
Probably. Yep. I would think. Speaking of non-parks, changing the subject, we mentioned this a couple times, talking about the bears that situations and trying to reintroduce bears out in the Northwest Territory, or not Northwest Territories, but in the Northwest area of the United States. And it's not diminishing in that area, but in Alaska, it's nothing less than their... kind of like the eagles out there, they're almost a nuisance, you know. And in this case, brown bear attacks some hunters in Alaska, leaving one with a gunshot wound after he ended up in a fight with the bear. That's crazy.
You're supposed to shoot the bear.
A 32-year-old man was left with severe injuries after a brown bear mauled him and was accidentally shot in the ensuing struggle after he and his partner were attacked in Alaska. They were hunting along the Resurrection Pass Trail, a 40-mile stretch between Hope and Cooper Landing, Alaska, when they encountered and were attacked by a large brown bear approximately 3 in the afternoon of this month. Alaska Department of Safety announced the bear mauled the man and seriously injured him. While they were fending off the bear, both hunters fired their guns. The 32-year-old was shot in the leg. It's not clear who fired the shot that hit him. They said that the brown bear was killed by the hunters during the exchange. The hunter who was shot was transported to Anchorage Hospital in a helicopter for treatment, and the other hunter was transported by Alaska to a rescue coordination center, and they got him, and he's okay. There's no joke when you're out there, out in the woods.
That'd be a bad day. Not only did he get chewed up by a bear, but then you get shot besides.
Yeah, but I think if he wouldn't have gotten shot, my guess is he probably wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean,
that's the tough part. It's not a good thing by any means, and kind of crazy, to be honest. One of the articles that I had pulled up, Don, if I can find where I put it. Ah, here we go. We talked a little bit about wind generation. We were talking about in the ocean and what's going on with wind generation, how it's affecting fisheries, etc.
Right.
And we have one such scenario that came up this recently. It's an area called the Vineyard Wind Project, and many are calling it a menace to our fisheries. There's people that set out in a flotilla to protest this particular wind farm. There's a lot of things going on with the wind farm. We talked about it. It's the cabling that goes underneath the ocean, or not underneath, but it's on the surf, on the bottom,
right,
that's apparently affecting whale in their signaling. It's affecting, and they're running into these towers. There's a lot of different stories that have come out on this particular scenario. But out of Nantucket, some boats went off the coast. They rallied together to protest the Vineyard Wind Project, and it's all about the big wind turbines that are out there.
Right.
Very recently, a turbine blade broke off and sent shards of fiberglass all over in the general area. And what was odd about it, floating fiberglass shards remain navigation safety risk for mariners over a month after the blade disaster. We have no idea what this industrial litter, what the effect it will have on the local food chains. We have no idea whether this could happen again. Well, we know, obviously, if it happens once, it certainly can again. In that area that they're in North Atlantic, they said fishermen understand the volatility of that particular fishery, and they're confident the wind turbines and blade components will survive a winter squall or hurricane in light of July's catastrophe. They don't know. Is it going to survive it? Is it not? You get a nor'easter that comes in. Who knows? If it's already having some degradation, that's a problem. And it's an argument point, Don. I mean, there's a lot of people that are really upset with what's going on, and they're only trying to get more and more and more wind turbines. And I think, you know, that's a bit of a problem.
I don't know. Have you ever seen, I mean, the reason they're doing these wind farms like this is for affordable electricity. But when they've done the study on what it takes to build one of them, it uses way more electricity than it'll ever save, ever.
Yep.
And now they've discovered that you could do nothing with those blades. They're not recyclable, or nobody's come up with a way to recycle them at this point. So they're burying them. And I think the one that exploded on the ocean, I mean, all the shards.
They're now in the ocean.
They're in the ocean.
Yep. And
they're worried about them getting in the fish.
So you can't see it.
Right.
Because they're neutrally buoyant.
Yep.
That's a bit of a problem. Well, in October, Vineyard Wind boasted of a $1.2 billion first of its kind tax equity package for commercial scale offshore wind. Three, U.S. banks called it the largest single asset tax equity financing and a first for a commercial scale offshore wind project. They began construction in 2021, completed the first substation 2023, and it's 800 megawatt project, 15 miles off of Martha's Vineyard. He said the scary thing about it is it could happen again, as some of these people are talking about it, and they don't know what the breakage, what caused it. GE is a project manufacturer for this particular scenario. They said they're full compliance, of course, with the orders and the collaboration with the local environmental areas and safety response teams, and also debris recovery efforts. And it's a continuous push to have offshore wind farms from the current administration. They aim to hit aggressive green energy goals by 2030. And some of these have not been fully tested, and it's proof. And in an ocean environment, there's a lot of different things that come up, as well as the fact that you're finding impacts that are coming from how it affects the fishery, whether it's whales, whether it's harvest fish, whether it's lobster, whatever. And that whole East Coast is required to have those things. But then they also wanted to impart, if you remember, they wanted to impart a maximum of 10 mile an hour speed zone.
Oh, right.
To 10 miles out, so you wouldn't have any impact to whales.
Right.
And now they're finding out that the wind farms are causing
way more issues.
And way more issues than anything else. So I find it extremely odd that that is actually a thing, to be honest. Now, what do you do, right? So next week, I've got a story. I was going to do it this week, and I apologize, but I'm going to tease next week's story, Don.
Yep.
Three common myths about shot and shotgun shells.
Oh, wish.
It's an amazing read, and I think we're going to have some fun with it, because there are some things that you and I both have encountered, and surprisingly enough, shotgun is coming up right now. We're going to be doing some pheasant hunting.
Oh, yeah. Waterfall. And.
Yep. So I think that's going to be the kind of a big thing. So stay tuned for next week. We're going to be talking a little bit about shotgun shells. I hope everyone has an absolutely fantastic weekend. I'm going fishing. Don?
I'm getting ready to go.
Ava?
I may find the time.
Well, I hope
to wet a line.
I hope all you guys have a safe time. I hope everyone listening has an absolutely fantastic Labor Day weekend. Have a great one. See you. Bye.